Well, it's good to see everyone this morning, and good to be here. Good to be here with you, and good to have each of you who are with us by way of the internet or by way of web TV this morning. And we just greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. You that are with us on a regular basis, we just greet you as well, and some of you are, and you who may be finding us in this particular broadcast for the first time, it's good to have each of you, those who are with us in this country and those who are with us in several other countries, but it is all in one body, and that is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what we're talking about in a lot of these morning sessions, and that is the reality of being in Christ. There's a lot of things we could call this: the reality of our salvation, the reality of our life, because it is all of that. It is all of that gathered up together in Christ. Let me see. Sometimes you can see with them, sometimes you can't. I don't know. We've been looking at this, the reality of being in Christ. I've been using things out of a study manual that we printed here, "If any man be in Christ." Of course, that's a partial excerpt from 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It comes out of verse 17, but just look at it as a whole chapter. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Oh, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago, the Lord began to deal with me about afresh and anew about our union with Him, and consequently, our union one with another. But that where there is no union with Him, then there is no true union one with another. And where there is union with Him, and only where there is union with Him, is there a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I was thinking about this, well, I think about it regularly, but I was thinking about it yesterday, particularly up here for a while. And I was just realizing what a great reality of union. What a great reality is this thing of being in Christ. most believers, and I'll put myself at the head of that list. You don't have to put your name on the list at all. Have so little understanding, real understanding, of the reality of our union with Him and what it actually means, this term, new creation. Because we all have definitions for it, but those definitions always come out in words that define our understanding of union. I mean, we do that in the natural world. Everyone has a different understanding, for instance, of telling the truth. Now, you could fill this room up with books on definitions of telling the truth. Because everybody's got a different idea. And we bring that right over into Christ, unless we have the mind of Christ formed and being formed in us. We bring our definitions of the truth right over into Christ too, honey. When in fact, God only has one definition of truth. The truth. He only has one definition of life. The life. And it's the same with light. It's the same with everything of our salvation. It is defined of God. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, my word. And particularly in the little phrase there in verse, what we call verse 9 and 10. But it uses these great terms. All things. In heaven, on earth, all things in one. I mean, my word, look at those phrases there. Look at those words, all, which in God's understanding leaves nothing out. Summed up in one. Huh, that's what a new creation is. It's all things summed up in one. We only know of that creation what we know of Him because everything of that creation is summed up in Him. It comes down then to how much we do or do not know Him. The total otherness of our life in Christ from our life in the flesh. The total other. I mean, it's beyond description. I don't think there is a definition for it. Designating how completely other, how completely one to the one, in fact, the other doesn't even exist. I mean, that's how far they are apart, those two creations. One, that first one, as we look at it, but it's strictly me-centered and you-centered, man-centered. It's one creation, man creation, but it's filled up with many. I mean, the whole focus of it is many, 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 many. Everything is numbered by multitudes, by how many. Everything is there. This other creation is filled up, all right. It is the only thing that God absolutely calls and knows as fullness. It's the only thing that's not empty and void, though it's got many in it. That first one is still empty and void.
The second one, the new creation that we don't have any understanding of, is totally full. It's filled with the fullness that filleth. It's filled not with many, it's filled with one. It's Christ. It comes down to not being something that, like we visualize even this little feeble world to be, a little globe floating around, or a universe, all of which is nothing more than a bat of the eye of God. Scarcely even a moment of a thought. A new creation. And it can't be visualized like that which is seen and touched and tasted and heard, the type of all of it. It can only be visualized as a man. No, not a natural man. But a new man. A man that is altogether other than Adam, altogether other than flesh and blood, altogether other. Such a one is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Christians that have received him in one way or another still have no concept. I mean, their whole idea of him focuses upon a mere 30 years, 33 years, a short period, focuses upon that. And knowing him based upon that. A body that he occupied for 33 years, let's say. And then laid it aside. Laid it aside with a whole first creation. Laid it aside. It wasn't to his great reputation that he took that form upon himself. He did that so he could die with it and bring it to death. Not die simply for it so that whole creation wouldn't have to die. He took it up in himself and took it into his death and put it to death. I mean, God had already told Adam, "Thou shalt surely die." And that wasn't totally left up to Adam, was it? No, that was accomplished as appointed, but it was accomplished in Christ. Christ became that. Not only that very sacrifice, but that very man, that very creature and creation took it there. Now, all I'm saying is nothing that you haven't heard forever, for a long time. I'm simply trying to just, I don't know, say something about how totally different these two creations are. And we've drawn the board, the symbols of them on the blackboard and all of that, and that's fine. I've done that forever, it seems. And we put the cross there. And the cross is the separation of the two, but unless we have a clear view of the cross, then it's like just someone told me, I don't know, two or three years back now, was talking to me on the phone after having sent me an email. And was saying that they understood and had come to understand, you know, the separation of the old and the new, the difference of the old covenant and the new covenant, the difference of the first creation and the second creation and all down the line. You know, that these things had been divided. darling, the cross did a whole lot more than divide. The cross did away with. Now, I know that the mind of the natural man can't even approach that. I know that. I can't even approach it. Care how much you say about it. Because we're busy looking at it in the natural. But in the heart and mind and view of God, not in the imagination of God. God has no imagination. In His Son and in the death of that Son with God, that whole thing was taken away. It was taken away. He will not change His course concerning that whole creation. He has loved it one time on the cross in its death because it was the death of His Son. It was His love bringing that whole first creation into itself and taking it unto death. So Christ, so God loved the world. And it's done. As far, you know, it's done. It exists, it continues to propagate itself. I mean, still having, you know, still doing all of that. But not in union with God. Having nothing of, I mean, God is finished with it at the cross, hon. Now think about this. God is finished with it because it's that finished that we have trouble with. We want to continue to push it just a little farther ahead. No, God is already finished with it. Except those of that first creation, you and me, come to Christ in our heart by way of the cross. Not simply that He died so I wouldn't have to, so I could continue to push it off into the future. No, He died, exhibiting to me and to you the grace and mercy and love of God, so that we who died with Him could also live by Him. Now, that's a short version of it, but that's what happened. To those dead who hear His voice, who says, come unto me, I will give you life. Come unto me, I am the resurrection. I am the life. And on. The Spirit of God saying that. But when you come to Him, you are no longer. You are no longer who and what you were. You're not the same who, but now on my way to heaven. You're not the same where, but now in Christ also. No. Paul says that. He says it so many times that this looks like repetitious. And I guess it was. But he sums our salvation up by saying, yes, saved by grace. You want to hear about that? Okay. He brought you all to death. And then he quickened you together. And he raised you together. And he seated you together in the heavens, in Christ. Good Lord. It's not the same thing as thinking, well, I'm all saved. I'm saved. I believe in Jesus and I'm saved. Well, there's nothing wrong with our salvation. It's the way we think about it, if we do think about it. But to think that that's what it is. I'm saved and I'm still who I was, what I was, where I was. It's just that now my sins are all forgiven. No, hon, the cross did a whole lot more than that. And most of us, I mean you and I, and as I said, I put myself at the top of that. You don't have to put yourself on the list because I don't want to hurt your feelings. But most of us, darling, are dumb as doorknobs concerning what took place at the cross. And all of our, you know, our holiday festivities and then our other holidays that we have and then all of that stuff where we look at, you know, the Easter parade and we look at all of it doesn't cause us to focus upon the reality of the cross either. That, very simply, regardless of how much I know, regardless of what depth or height or what breadth or what degree or what measure of the reality of that is working in my heart, regardless of that, the fact of it is, at the cross I died. Died. Deader than a doornail. I died. And whether anything else died or not, I died. As far as I know, that when a person dies in the natural and we have their funeral, cart them down here, put them there where everybody can look at them, everybody making sure they're dead. Yep, they're dead. Okay. They're the only one dead in the room. It doesn't depend on anybody else being dead. It doesn't depend on the building burning down. That person is dead to everything that exists. That's what happened at the cross, honey. See, we say, well, if the whole creation was, you know, was come to a death and all of that at the cross, we're still looking outwardly. What are all these people doing around here? See, it's not about a planet disappearing. It's about the death of the Adamic creation. Adam, you. Me. When he died, all died with him. And God looks at it and there's no life there. And there's never going to be any life there. There's not something coming where life is going to find its way there. That creation is never, ever going to be transformed. It's never, ever going to be saved. Never, ever, ever, never. There is salvation for it, but that is by the death of that creation, and whoever in among the dead will hear his voice, and we come out of that creation by the power of the new creation. What power? The power of his resurrection. Christ living in you. Resurrection is not the dead living again. It is Christ living in that one that was dead. It's not about me living again. It's about Christ living in me. Anew, anew, anew. Ever, ever anew. Newness of life. So Paul says that. Paul can say, I'm crucified. Because he knew something. I am crucified with Christ. Yet I live. But wait a minute. It isn't me. It's not Paul living again. That's not the resurrection. But rather it is Christ who liveth in me. And that's not only the resurrection, that is eternal life. That's just what I'm looking at here in the reality of our being in union with Christ. But the first thing we've kind of got to get nailed down, it seems like with me and having dealt with people in the years that I've dealt with them over and over and over again, is that there's got to be a time, regardless of how the Spirit of God works that out, that what we're talking about, it is an inward thing, it is a working, yes, yes. But there's got to be a time when we come inwardly and face inwardly the finality of that first, the finality of it. We stand there, look in a casket and say, yep, it's dead. Just that final. Just that final. See, the church world doesn't even do that. The natural world doesn't do that. In the natural world and in the church world, which is mostly natural minded, we come up to the same casket, you know, there ourselves or whatever you want to put there. And we say, yeah, it's dead, but well, one day I'll see it again. It'll be better then. It ain't going to come back. There is a new creation. And it's in Christ. And it is not going to die. Period. This body will, this body's dirt. You know that. And there's more to the old creation than just my body anyway. I mean, there's the whole creation, just the whole creation of sin, the whole creation of death, the whole creation, the whole of that old creation. Death brought to death through the death of him who has power over all death. His name's Jesus. It took place at the cross. That's the one we come to. He brings all of this that I've been talking to you about, living in the heavens. Because, get the heavens out of our imagination that it's all behind a cloud somewhere. The cloud is an Old Testament symbolism of the glory of God, and the glory of God is Christ in you. Christ has brought all of this inwardly, that where I am, you may be also. See, he has solved the who, the where, the when. We find it's not a location, but a reality of our union with him. And I'm beginning to realize that I know so very little about it, I'm almost ashamed to sit down and deal with it on the monthly CDs, because I am dealing with it there as much as I can, more than anywhere else. And I'm almost ashamed to sit down and even so, you know, I do a lot of reading. But it is that reality which the Holy Spirit himself moves continually to show us. The Spirit of truth, not telling us things that are true, the Spirit of truth showing us truth. the truth as it is in Christ. But the more we are separated unto Him, by the same measure we are separated from all that is not Him. I'm talking about a heart union, a heart separation. I'm not talking to you about getting rid of your husband, wife, and children, and you know that. But the heart union, the heart, the thing that makes everything what it is. And in Christ, we have more than a principle ruling in our heart. We have the Lamb of God, the King of Kings, setting up on His throne in the center of our heart. At least that's where it's to be. You find that throughout the Old Covenant, God after the heart of Israel. He never did get it. He got it in Paul, who represents a good deal of Israel, in Christ. But out of Israel, he never got their heart. I don't find any place where he was after the heart of the heathen. You know, I'm after the heart of the Jebusites. No, he was after the heart of those that weren't heathen. He was after the heart of those that were his people. And darling, that's what the Spirit of God, because all of this reality has to take place in our heart. Christ in you must come to rule in the heart, because that's where the seat of our deep emotions are, not the things that comes and goes and blah. And that's where the seat of our purpose and of our motivation, I mean, you know, why we even want to breathe. You might think about that. Why we even want to breathe? Why do I really want to get up again this morning? Why do I really want to get up again this morning? You need to think about that. Everybody in this building needs to think about that. Why do I want to do that? Why? Does your answer go beyond anything that you can see? Or anyone that you can see or touch? Because that pretty well means that if something happened to that one or to that thing that you can see, your why and your purpose pretty well would be gone. Now, I've seen people like that. They died and I don't want to live anymore. And I've seen people just die. I'm talking about a new creation. The truth of which, the knowledge of which, the person of which is enthroned on our heart. And that we can face the temporary, and I've faced it, so I'll call it temporary if I want to. The temporary sadness of losing people close to you. People that are birthed out of your own body. But it's still temporary. And be able to face that and still understand that life and purpose of life is far beyond that. In fact, it's found in another creation. That everything that so many times, folks, everything that really drives us and motivates us and causes us to make the decisions that we make, if we would just sit down and think about it for a minute, is based upon something we can see. Something of that creation where God no longer even sees us. His whole view is having us in His Son, because that's where there are joy unspeakable and full of glory and all of the spiritual fullness and blessing. Eternity is dwelling there in all of its richness. And that's where God sees us. And that's the place and the person and the reality to which He seeks to open our heart. Even while we're in these earthen vessels on this earth, so that on this earth we have something greater than this earth to get up for. Something greater than this earth. To go to work for. Something greater than this earth. To take care of our family for. Something greater than this earth. To even want to have a job. But something greater than this earth. Now, that's not really, I think about that and I say that to myself and I think, God, that's not asking a whole lot of God who gave us such a gift, such a reality, something that we're totally stupid of, that He would want us to turn to that and forsake in our hearts everything else and find our joy, our purpose, our commitment to Him, to one another, to heaven, to, you know, in something that is totally other than this world, and yet a reality in which we live on this world for a period of time. And when our physical, the body of clay, this earthen vessel, dies, that which is not part of this earth, that which is in a new creation, our very soul, wherein dwelleth our very heart, just not just continues on, but continues on. No, it doesn't. Well, we're not going to talk about that, but continues in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. See, we can't imagine anything beyond what we go look at in a mirror, so we're not going to sit here, I'm not, and speculate on it. But I'm telling you, eternal is eternal, and eternity now lives in those who have Christ dwelling in them. And if you are in Him, you are in eternity. And darling, is it really too much for Paul and for the Scripture and for the testimony given of God to expect that His people would walk looking above, would live in the reality of life? And would be, in effect, what I'm really looking at these several days. That's what all of this is about. And we'll get to it. We'll get to it in the next several Sundays. Not only just abiding time on earth, but filling wherever we are through the Spirit of God making manifest by us in that place the savor of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The church world is always talking about us getting a body where we can fly away, get out of this world. What about talking about living as a body right in the midst of this world? That maketh manifest the savor of the knowledge of Him at all times and wherever we are found. What about that? I want us to look at that kind of a body. I was going to do an introduction for that, and I guess we could call what I've done an introduction, whatever you want to call it. I'm still talking about understanding our salvation. Here it is right here. But it comes right into the fact of Him having, well, I've got it written right here. Rather, it is all about Christ having His own body, His own church, His own house. Individualism says that salvation is about me and mine. Reality of new creation, being in Christ, says it's all about Him and His. That's true. But it's really about that body. Coming to know Him in such a way that we live on earth as we are in heaven. Not playing church and churchanity and ecclesiastical orders and all. No. Not all of that, waiting on till we all go, you know, to heaven. But rather making manifest that reality wherever we are. In the motivations of just being there. And in every way. And we're not talking about, you know, just a bunch of outward seeable things. But we are talking about the inward reality governing. The outward expression. Well, I'm going to stop here. We'll start here. It's just something that the Lord is dealing with my heart about, and I've got outline on top of outline and printout on top of that. But, you know, when it comes to sitting down and sharing, I end up just kind of sharing where I am in my heart. We'll get to it. But I don't want us to miss the point. The point that is in my heart is that, hon, we are either in the Adamic creation, mankind. You're either in the Adamic creation or you're a new creation in Christ. There is no third place. And there is no other place coming and yet to come. You're either in the one or in the other. Now, God provided all of that through a finished work called Jesus Christ the Lord. But that doesn't mean that anybody has accepted Him in any way. Period. But if you have, we need to know who it is we've accepted. Because to you and I, He is a place. A place in the realest term of that word, place. And He is a when. He is a time, an hour, a day. In the realest sense of that hour and day and time. I've, I've known a lot of people in the body of Christ, and I've talked to a lot of people, and all of that. And over the years, I've seen many of those folks embrace the terminologies that we, and I know they've embraced more than that, but even in embracing that, I know them and I look at them and I know me and I look at me. This is something that I've just seen, I've recognized. It's nothing, not nearly as much as Paul saw and as Paul recognized and spoke out on it. Spoke out on it. If you be risen with Christ, then quit seeking the things. He might as well have said it that way, or he wouldn't have had to say it at all. You're dead. Your life is hid with Christ. And on. And I know how the Lord deals with me. Because it gets to seeming like we believe something, we get a hold of it, we believe it. And now we're just kind of sitting around seeing what's going to happen. And not everybody's that way, but you see that throughout the body of Christ, and we see that. I see that with people that I deal with more than any place else. And I'm not talking about then some, you know, big event of doing this or doing that. No, that's the way the world does it. But honey, if we live in Christ, then shouldn't that be demonstrated in everything that we do or say or think, in every decision that we make? And that's what I want us to think about. Because I think you make those decisions and you weigh those important issues based upon where you in your heart dwell. Where you and I in our hearts are most aware of. That is the motivation of the time. That's the thing. It's there. It's automatic. It's automatic. And I don't have to look beyond me to see an example of that one way or the other. And it's not about God needing to do something more than he's already done. But it is about God showing us what he has already done. And when I say what and who, I'm talking about Christ. Christ our life. All of this is summed up in a man. It's all summed up in a person. New creation living in you. But the height and depth and length and width and breadth, the whole thing of that new creation is found in the fullness of that person, because that person is spirit, eternal, everlasting spirit. And he lives in me and he lives in you, and that's what we have come to. So, understanding our salvation. And may the Lord give us truly the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. And I trust that all of you that are with us because I'm closing now. I want you to understand we are not here talking about academic information of spiritual things. We're not talking about studies for which you can be given grades, studies for which you can be awarded accolades and so forth. We're talking about a knowing that is worked in us by the very Spirit of the very one whom we are knowing. Christ all in all. Christ all in all. What a glorious salvation. So may the Lord richly bless you. Thank you so much for allowing us to come into wherever you're seeing us now, whether it's on one of your mobile devices or whether it's in your home or in your office or in a group meeting. May the Lord richly bless you, and it's our joy to be able to reach out throughout His body and around the world and share with you the very thing that the Spirit of God desires to share with His whole body, you and I included. So may the Lord just bless us in that endeavor together to declare this gospel. Thank you for helping us do it. Thank you for making it possible that I am sitting here this morning, that others sit here and sit here on a regular basis or stand before you on a regular basis with the classes that we have and the outreaches that we have. Thank you for making that possible. And not only thank you for the fact that we are physically sitting here, we thank you for the fact that we're reaching out and setting, as it were, where you are. Because that's the part that we need help with. And we thank you very much for it. Let us hear from you in any way that we can be a help or a ministry to you. And may the Lord bless. Amen.